AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, the true story of a young man raised in the faith by his virtuous mother. The father sends him to university, and our young man loses his bearings and his faith. Stay tuned to find out what happens to our young man on another True Stories from the Heart. The attention of friends who were admitted into the private sitting room of the rich widow was immediately attracted by a strange object placed at the foot of a magnificent ivory crucifix. The said object was a kind of reliquary, beautifully carved in silver and adorned with splendid emeralds. Anyone would have expected to find under the crystal center of this precious jewel some venerable relic, or at least a holy picture. Nothing was to be seen, however, but an ordinary silver coin. "Handsome emeralds, are they not?" the lady of the house asked. "Magnificent," I replied. "They well deserve to adorn a relic." The lady began to laugh, but she soon replied gravely, "For me, that coin is a true relic. It saved the life of my son and changed his heart completely. That is why I have placed it at the feet of our Lord." When you see Miguel, have him relate the story to you. A few years afterwards, he related to me the following story, never suspecting that I should betray his confidence to the public. The following lines were written to me quite recently, however, by Miguel himself, who is now an excellent fellow and father of five children. He said I could publish this episode of his life, but to represent him as he truly was. So now, Miguel's story. In former years, Miguel was, in every sense of the term, a wild, dissipated youth. He was one of the many victims which the hypocrisy of vice makes among inexperienced youths. He was led away by evil company. His father had in no way occupied himself in the education of his son. The boy's mind and character had not been left uncultivated, however. His excellent mother had guided her tender solicitude, the first movements of her heart, of her beloved son. Miguel's good mother had infused into the heart of her son a love of virtue, a faith as his duty, hope as his consolation, and charity as his joy. As she had moreover so wisely fomented the child's natural instinct towards compassion. In a word, Miguel was a morally, at 18 years of age, an excellent youth. About this time, his father decided that Miguel should go to study law in Seville, and the young man, provided with letters of recommendation to his relatives, left home to his mother's deep regret for the beautiful city of Andalusia. Among his many good qualities, Miguel had one grave defect, which became the cause of his downfall: an exaggerated amount of self-love and a domineering character. Accustomed to deal only with his inferiors, whom he commanded and by whom he was flattered, he could not make up his mind to become, in the society which he was now entering, a sort of second personage, encountering at every step his equals and very frequently his superiors. He experienced a slight, as it were, and it created such a deep impression because he took it too seriously. This slight and his reaction became the turning point in his, up until now, virtuous life. Upon reaching Seville, he paid a short, obligatory visit to a distant relative, an elderly duchess. He was received by her with good breeding, proper to persons of high estate. But soon the drawing room was filled with ladies and gentlemen who had come to congratulate the duchess on her name day. What to do? So instead of leaving for his short visit, he remained. He could not see any way to leave, that is, politely. Then he was invited to dinner. No escape again. As it was becoming late, the Duchess said he must spend the night. Our youth was beside himself. How he wanted to leave. The following morning, the Duchess laughed at the young man's predicament. Well, he thought, was all of Seville also laughing at him? This simple incident, the recollection of which would have excited laughter in anyone else, terribly exasperated Miguel's self-love. He, in common with most youths who made their debut in society, fancied all eyes to be fixed upon him and persuaded himself that he now had become an object of ridicule in the sight of all Seville. Now, this false idea was so rooted in his mind that he determined to avoid for the future that refined society to which of right he belonged. He began to seek the company of deadbeats, among whom he dominated on account of his wealth. So Miguel was led, well willingly, it must be said, to all kinds of vice. Thanks to unsavory friendships during his first term at university, Miguel became a wild student, a frequenter of cafes and taverns, and to the end of the second term, he became a habitual drinker. Miguel's good mother would now hardly recognize her once candid and sensitive son. Obscenity was on his lips, casting off the yoke of education and despising even all human respect. He wore only a well-defined look of devil-may-care insolence. That young man whose language scandalized and whose manners shocked, who from the cafe had descended to the tavern, sought out all sorts of degenerates. But like another Monica praying for her son Augustine, Miguel's mother spent many hours praying before the crucifix. Meanwhile, May was drawing to a close and the examinations approaching, and Miguel knew not a word. He sat up for two or three nights, keeping himself awake by drinking strong coffee, and studied lightly over the assigned subjects. Satisfied with his preparation, he presented himself, in his turn, quite determined to make fun of the examiners. But, of course, on the day of the exam, not only could he not answer the questions, he treated the examiners with disdain. Consequently, he left the university in disgrace. Soon after this event, Miguel might have been seen one evening coming out of a gambling house where he had lost all his money except a silver gold piece worth $2. With this, he walked away with his head erect, for nothing now could cast him down or cause him to reflect, and his hands plunged into his pockets, and he turned into a long, narrow street. Soon, a pitiful sound had fallen on his ears, a wailing sound rendered still sadder in the sad silence of the night, a pitiful plaint that pierced his soul, the plaintive cry of an innocent, defenseless, perhaps abandoned child. Miguel ran towards the spot from whence the sound proceeded, with the anxiety and eagerness to give relief with charity inspires. Huddled up in a doorway, its little face lying on the bare ground, a baby only a few months old was sleeping. It still held in its tiny hand a hard crust that its teethless gums rejected, and spite of the hardness of its cold bed, smiled sweetly in its slumber. Another child, about 8 years old, brother of the infant, was crying. He held in one hand some lottery tickets, and in the other a false dollar, which he kept striking on the stones to try to make a sound. Both angels of God, children of our Heavenly Father, the one smiling unconsciously in its sleep, the other kept awake by sorrow and fear. "What is the matter, little one?" asked Miguel, with such compassionate interest that his voice trembled. At this moment, the watchman came up, and the boy yielded to their united assistance and told them that a man had brought one of his lottery tickets with the false coin he held in his hand, and that he dared not go home with it for fear of being dreadfully beaten by his father. Miguel gave a sigh of relief, for could he not wipe away those tears and bring joy to that young heart? He sent the watchman to the nearest tavern to change the $2 piece for two silver coins, and giving one to the boy, he put the other one into his waistcoat pocket. Like sweet music, the voice of the child echoed back, "May God reward you, sir." At one moment, he felt half angry, and at the next, inclined to cry. Annoyed, he bent his steps homeward, feeling all the while an aching void, an anguish of soul which tormented him cruelly without his being able to guess the cause. "What can the matter with me be?" he kept asking himself. But his reason, obscured by a life of sin, could not answer him. Then that it was, in his nobler sentiments, awaking at the tears of a child and struggling to break through the mire of passion which had buried them, were groaning to be free, chafing and fretting to escape, as good does from evil, as all that is pure and heavenly does from what is vile and earthly. It was now past midnight, and in the dark, silent streets, no one was to be seen. But on turning round a corner near his lodgings, Miguel felt himself suddenly seized by two thieves, and while one of them threatened him with a huge dagger, the other one tried to relieve him of his watch and money. Miguel, who was strong and courageous, struggled violently and succeeded in throwing off both of his assailants. But one, furious at being baffled, rushed back upon him and stabbed him with the dagger. The steel blade made a grating noise as though breaking against something, and Miguel felt a strong blow at his waist, which at the time he could not account for. The sound of the struggle had quickly brought the watchmen to the spot, and they immediately examined our hero to see if he were wounded. The point of the dagger had come in contact with the crown piece left from the gold coin, which Miguel had changed when he gave alms to the boy, and remained embedded therein. But, opposing fortunately a stout resistance, otherwise the young man would have been killed at once. "What a lucky chance!" exclaimed the watchman. But Miguel saw therein the finger of God. Miguel, whose mind and heart had suddenly awakened, wept tears of true repentance, which made him what God willed him to be, a good Christian, an excellent father and husband. Miguel wept, and from the bottom of his heart murmured, "Blessed, blessed a thousand times be the merciful providence of my God." Now this was a story which Miguel's excellent mother desired him to relate to me, and I, hearing it from his own lips, could not help exclaiming, "Happy is that son for whom a loving mother prays." Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's true story was written by Father Louis Colonna from the book The First Mass and Other Stories. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
Guadalupe Partners is in the vanguard of the pro-life movement in our community, offering sidewalk counseling, prayer, rescue, and transformation. On Friday, October 30th, Guadalupe Partners will sponsor a dinner at Gabriel Richard High School in Ann Arbor. The dinner will feature special guests, Bishop Earl Boyer from the Diocese of Lansing and Auxiliary Bishop Daniel Flores from the Archdiocese of Detroit. Admission is only $12 and the doors open at 5 p.m. To RSVP, call 248-982-8294.
Wouldn't you like your business to be recognized among Catholics in the community as a business of integrity, trust, and moral character? The Catholic Business Pages offers you that opportunity. The Catholic Business Pages is not just another online Yellow Page directory. The advertisers are grounded in strong Christian morals.